So, Mr. Kallenbach's up and retiring. You know, that feels rather inspiring, so I'm here to announce in a tone that's cool, I'm hanging it up. April Fool. No, I'm not bailing out, not just yet, but all our best to Dean Kallenbach, who, in a matter of days, will be keeping B's and getting more Z's full-time. Welcome, everybody. I'm Al Ross, and this is Spectrum West, a voice for the arts, culture, and humanities of Western Wisconsin. Good to be back, and we're back with a bang. Beth Jean is here, a musical ball of fire who's about to release her second album, complete with all the animation and YouTube fun that we've come to expect. There's news from UW Stout about their prestigious animation and digital media program. Associate Professor and Program Director Kim Loken fills in the details. Motorcycles are on the road again, and we have two gentlemen who love to ride and also tell others about important things to know and remember. Ron Davis and Daryl Broughton are here. And we begin with an update on what is just beginning, a very special month from Arts Wisconsin. It's no wonder I like talking about and with them. We're in the same business. Ann Katz has directed it through three name changes and nearly three decades. And starting now, April 1st, it's officially Creative Wisconsin Month. In planning this interview, at least twice, you had to switch the times of our conversation in favor of something else that popped up. So that must mean you are busy.
Busier than I ever was.
I'm happy.
Even though
that.
I don't go anywhere. It's quite interesting.
Well, you're not known for sitting still.
No, I can't wait to get back to actually touring around the state, because if there's anything we've learned from this pandemic, it's that there's nothing that replaces actual human contact.
Tell me that you're noticing things picking up. I'd like to hear that.
Yes. And.
Okay.
For a few reasons. One is, people are getting their shots. It's ramping up, so that's good. It's nicer weather, so we can do a lot of things outside. And, you know, last year, I felt like at the beginning of the summer, nobody really knew what to do,
yep.
Right? Like,
mm-hmm.
What do we do? Even if it's outside, what do we do? So there wasn't a lot of stuff that happened. But this year, we're getting our shots. We know what to do. And we're kind of desperate to be with each other and go to performances and have that contact. And so what I'm seeing is everyone is trying to figure out what they can do outside for the summer. Even the indoor places are trying to figure out if they can do anything that's either some inside, some outside. So I think what we're seeing is a lot more activity, arts activity around the state for the summer.
You and I have spoken a few times during the COVID experience, one we'll always remember, of course, and that history books are going to record. And each time we've spoken about the phenomenon that is creativity and how even in the face of a worldwide pandemic, it not only cannot be beaten or even diminished, but it proves to be part of the solution. Creativity, the way I have it written in my notes here, is like water. It always finds a way through or around an obstacle. It also carries other things with it.
Agreed.
It does prove to be part of the solution.
Yes, another thing that we've learned is or has really been proven is that you can't stop that creative spirit that's in each of us. And we've always known that, but how have we gotten through and we'll get through the pandemic in the face of completely unimaginable situations? Well, we're going to have to come up with creative ideas and creative solutions and just think our way and act our way out of this situation. And so I have been astounded by the creativity that I've seen around the state. I mean, we've all done our fair share of crying and whining. Believe me, I've done plenty of that. But in general, that's perfectly normal.
Sure.
In general, you know, people are feeling, well, we got to do something.
Yeah.
Okay, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, whether it's figuring out how to put things online, and there has been some amazing stuff online. And then another part of that is, how do you monetize that? You know, you can't charge $50 for a ticket online like you could for a performance. There's that to work on, but the whole online, the whole ability to put your work out there, there have been some really fantastic art created that way that I'm sure will continue.
Yep.
And then, again, people are figuring out how to use those creative skills, not in the way they would have liked, but to, you know, make a living, feed their families, pay their rent.
Yeah.
And so it's an explosion of creativity that we will keep using and seeing in ways we can't even imagine at this point.
Who would have ever thought that online or the internet would turn into the medium, the artistic medium, and the venue that it's turned out to be?
Yeah, we didn't have to think of that. It wasn't imperative. Now it is.
Mm-hmm.
And although we may not like it, again, we have to get back to human contact because that's what humans do.
Yeah.
That whole aspect of being able to get your work out there around the world, which some people already used, but not that many, that's opened up a whole new area of experience, again, that we are starting to imagine.
On the phone with Ann Katz, Executive Director, Arts Wisconsin. Because we are on the first day, if you're listening on Thursday, of April, and April happens to be Creative Wisconsin Month. Ann, is Creative Wisconsin Month 2021 a first, a special homegrown kickstart thing, or is it simply to celebrate? It's listed as a work in progress, I see.
Yes, I keep thinking of new sessions, and then I put them together and put them into the schedule. It's a new thing, and it's building on the work that we've done for over 25 years and the work that's happening around the state, cramming it into a month of celebration and learning. There's so much, if only I had all the time, money, and resources in the world, we could do so much more. But it's a series of conversations about everything from downtowns as arts destinations to visual artists as advocates to the state of arts funding 1 year later, because we did a panel with the Wisconsin Philanthropy Network a year ago about what arts funding would look like as the pandemic started. And now we're going back and doing another panel a year later. Advocacy, creative planning, young arts leaders. There's so much to talk about when it comes to the arts. And so we're celebrating throughout the month. And the really exciting thing is that we're kicking it off today with our Wisconsin Poet Laureate, Dasha Kelly Hamilton, who is also, as it happens, the Milwaukee Poet Laureate. And she is a really fantastic spoken word artist and advocate who uses her words to open up the world. And so we're very excited that she's with us to kick off the month. And so we're going to be talking about the arts and celebrating as much as we can. And then we'll do that starting in May and every other month after that. But April is going to be a lot of fun.
So these workshops and these sessions, do we have to be official members of Arts Wisconsin?
No,
or how do we partake?
It's open and free for all. So you just go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/artswisconsin, or our website, and it's got the schedule there. And basically, we're going to do Zoom, where you can just join in. And then on Facebook Live, assuming the technology works, then everything will be recorded, and so we'll have that online, and people can get to it after if they can't make it. But artswisconsin.org has all the information, and we'll be updating.
So the first Creative Wisconsin Month is just a very timely reminder of what it is we do and what we stand for in the face of what we've gone through. Then every subsequent Creative Wisconsin Month will only be better because we won't have that baggage.
Now's the time to start it, that's for sure, because
yeah.
We all need to be reminded of our humanity, and humans have been dealing with issues around big and small events in their lives in a creative way since the beginning of time. Now that you've said that, it will be really interesting to see what happens in a year and where we are with the pandemic having been in our lives, and hopefully it's behind us. And what has come out of that, not only in our daily lives, but in terms of artistic creation and creative endeavors. It's still unimaginable, but I'm excited to see, how are we going to write about this? How are we going to make music about it? How are we going to make movies about it? It's like the Depression that we asked our grandparents about. What was it like to live through the Depression? Well, what was it like to live through the pandemic? People will be analyzing it for a long time, very creatively.
Someone somewhere is writing COVID the Musical.
I've got to think of a better title. But yes, they are. It's a moment in history.
Yep. You are the face and the voice of Arts Wisconsin. You're always speaking for it and on behalf of other people. So I want you to give us some Ann Katz quiet moment, reflective stuff to chew on. Your tenure at the wheel of the good ship Arts Wisconsin, how have you grown professionally and evolved?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm going to have to find some time to think about that at some point, because I've pretty much been going nonstop for the last 26 years. In fact, today, April 1st, is the anniversary of my first day at Arts Wisconsin 26 years ago.
Wow. Hey, happy anniversary.
Thank you. This is our third name. You know, we are probably going to move forward with more of a creative focus in the future, and we're working on that now, so we might get to our fourth name. But I could go on about what I've learned. Again, the amazing, most importantly, the amazing creativity that's out there in Wisconsin and the world.
Yeah.
The creative people, businesses, organizations, communities. I'm just in awe of it. And often I look at an art project or a work of art and I think, how did you come up with that? That's amazing. But also using creativity to address issues, how cities are doing the most with their creativity and how businesses and everyone is. So that's probably the biggest thing.
Here's another curiosity, though. Why was Ann Katz named director 26 years ago? Why were you artistic? Did you sing? Did you dance? Did you paint?
Well, I do sing.
Okay.
I still am a singer. I haven't been singing in public in a year, but every once in a while I do get to sing.
I guess I did know that.
I was always a theater person, and I was a theater major, and I was going to be a big Broadway star, and I kind of morphed into a community activist who works through the arts and creativity, and I always had a passion for community, but I didn't really know very much about it. And in the last 26 years, I've learned about community and how we come together, what people do for each other and themselves, the way that people look at the world, which is often so different than mine. It's quite fascinating. It's exhausting sometimes, but it's really fantastic. The people I've met, the different experiences I've had experiencing the arts around the state. I could not have asked for a more engaging or fulfilling job.
Cool. That's how I feel about doing this show. I feel the same way. And by the way, there's still a lot of time to be that Broadway star. In fact, I can see the marquee now. Pandemic the Musical, starring Ann Katz.
You know, there's always a chance.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep that in mind.
That's where it's coming from. Ann, thank you. Get back to work. I know that you're always busy, and thank you for taking time out for us.
Nice to talk to you, Al. Take care.
You can visit them at artswisconsin.org. Do that. It's a cool place. Spectrum West on WPR, where support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Charter Bank, a locally owned community bank now offering checking account options. Charter Bank is dedicated to being invested in the community, customers, and employees. More information is at charterbank.bank. Support also comes from UW-Madison, committed to discovering innovative advancements in healthcare and empowering Wisconsin's next generation of leaders to spark change. Can't stop a badger. Impact.wisc.edu. Well, hey, motorcycles are part of our culture, and two guys who have planted themselves in the saddle for many years and who make motorcycling part of what they frequently talk about are Ron Davis, an associate editor at BMW Owners News, author of Shiny Side Up, a compilation of articles and essays, and a valued WPR volunteer during unpandemic times, and Daryl Broughton, a devoted rider and activist for the passion. We've seen him on the road already this spring. Motorcycles, that is. Although as a rider myself, it may be a while before it's warm enough to roll it out of the garage. Ron Davis agrees.
Now, I got to admit, it's not like it used to be. I used to be looking for that last piece of ice to be gone, and then I'd be out there, kind of counting the days. But as I've gotten older, I'm willing to wait until mid-April. I've been out once or twice already, but I don't have that anticipation to get out there right away.
How about you, Daryl?
Well, I've still got the fire in the belly, so to speak. I'm still able to get out in March. I will go out and I'll just ride shorter distances till my fingers start to freeze, and then I'll get back home.
Yeah, it's that frozen finger part. I don't have a pair of gloves that does the trick. I don't think they make a pair. I haven't found them anyway.
I'd like to posit the thing about gloves being actually the weak link, in my view, in motorcycle gear. I'm a strong proponent of what is called all the gear, all the time, which means at base, always a helmet, at least long sleeves, a pair of gloves, sturdy long pants, and footwear that goes over your ankle bone. I never get on the motorcycle without that. And then there's one other thing. I always use earplugs.
And actually, no matter how loud your motorcycle is, I got to recommend earplugs because of the wind noise. I think that's been compared to having a chainsaw near your ear when you're up around 70 miles an hour. And I was young and stupid for a long time, and so I have lost some of my hearing. But I just want to get my two cents in to recommend that also.
All of what you talked about, there's a safety factor involved.
Yes, absolutely. If we fall or if we motorcyclists are in an accident, we're going to get hurt much more severely than, say, somebody that's in an automobile. There's a motto, dress for the fall, not for the ride. You dress as if you are going to have an accident, which might sound a little bit pessimistic. But when I get all my gear on, I actually feel more comfortable than without it. To me, wearing the full gear actually adds to the enjoyment because I relax more during the ride.
Motorcycles, Ron, are a source of what you write about, both seriously and flippantly. But see if you can describe your reverence. And here's where I get into a conundrum. The line on my note says, but see if you can describe your reverence for the dot, dot, dot. And then I have sport, question mark, proclivity, question mark, defect or deficiency, question mark, adventurous gamble, question mark. What exactly is the tendency to want to ride on two wheels and sometimes fast on a highway on two wheels? Are we crazy or what are we?
Yeah, I think we're a little crazy, but you know, the more I have read and the more I've ridden and the more I have written, I've come to think of motorcycling as you could compare it to meditation, or you could compare it to maybe jogging. It's a different sort of activity than, let's say, driving a car, because it's all-consuming. You're forced to focus more on the moment, because if you don't, you could get into trouble really fast. For instance, you're just starting motorcycling this spring. Of course, you got to get your bike in shape, but you also have to reposition your frame of mind so you're thinking about things like oil slicks and gravel in the road and drivers that seem to be out to kill you and driving defensively. You have to be conscious of all those things, and there isn't any time for thinking about the future or thinking about the past. It's a more of an in-the-moment activity. Yeah. You know, and I used to commute sometimes when I was teaching. When I was driving, I'd go over my lesson plans, maybe practice a lecture in the car talking to myself. But on a motorcycle, I didn't ever do that. You have to be on top of the situation if you want to enjoy it. I think it becomes addictive, that kind of experience, but also to be safe.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about motorcycling. Ron Davis is a rider and a writer, and Daryl Broughton is an avid rider and a riding activist. The art of riding a motorcycle now that the season is upon us. Daryl, you were, until recently, publisher of Midwestern Motorcyclist, so you like to share what you know and love about riding, and you are aware of and willing to share some of the iconic roads and routes. What are some of the best in Western Wisconsin?
When you brought that up, Al, the first highway that came to my mind is Wisconsin State Highway 178 from Chippewa Falls to Cornell. First few miles, it's kind of open and there's farmland. But then when you get up to Jim Falls, you get right alongside the Chippewa River. I think Highway 178 is one of the real regional riding treasures, because you get so close to the Chippewa River, practically speaking, your right-hand shoulder is the river. You come up on a bank approaching Cornell, you can actually see the bend in the river, and it's tree-lined, it's shady. It's just a nice, wonderful ride. And then the other one that I thought about right away. My favorite road is Highway 88 from Gilmanton that snakes down to Highway 35 just north of Fountain City. And you can actually make a circle out of that. You just take Highway 88 down to 35 to Fountain City and then take State Highway 95 east over to Arcadia. I taught school many years ago in Blair, and my students called it the road across the hills. That was Highway 95. It's a wonderful, curvy, up on the bluffs, right next to farm fields. You come down to Arcadia and then take Highway 93 north, which in comparison is a little bit boring, but you take Highway 93 north to Independence. Just north of Independence is Highway 121. Turn left, that would be west. And Trempealeau County just finished paving Highway 121 to Gilmanton, and it is a wonderful 8 to 10 mile stretch. And let's see, if you take County Highway C over to Downsville, and then you pick up 72 to Elmwood, 128 goes north out of Elmwood, and that's a nice little road that'll take you right up to Highway 29. The other one I was thinking about, Pepin, any of the roads around there, you take double C up to double S, and any of those up around there are curvy, very scenic western Wisconsin roads.
But of course, an easy way to collect one's own roads to ride list is to simply watch when you drive a car and make mental notes. And you have to say, man, I got to do this road on a bike.
If I had to give, you know, three words of advice, towards the river, at least from Eau Claire, as soon as you start heading west towards the river, you're going to get into that bluff area, driftless area, and there are just some wonderful county trunks back in there and town roads.
Wisconsin has some of the best motorcycling roads actually in the nation.
Ron, you wrote an article, a humorous article, about ways for electric motorcycles to be heard. I enjoyed the heck out of that. You call the system rad noise. I Googled that. A thing called road noise comes up. You can literally buy a vest now for running that has speakers in it and all these pockets. But basically, where are we on the electric bike thing? I know they're making them. Is that the thing of the future?
I think it is. Just like with cars. Somebody told me the other day that Volvo is going to be completely electric in a couple of years. And I think the motorcycles can, you know, smell the coffee. Huh. BMW, I know, is planning on introducing an electric model within 5 years. They already have prototypes. Of course, Harley has their Livewire cycle. I ride an e-bike. I know that has exploded, that market for e-bikes. And I figure eventually the same thing will happen with motorcycles. You know, for people that make short hops, it makes a lot of sense. For touring motorcycles, without more charging stations and a quicker way to recharge, that's going to take some time.
And I guess I'm kind of two minds of the electric. I'm all for it. And the interesting thing about electric bikes is they've got all the acceleration, if not more, than gasoline-powered ones. But as Ron says, the touring kind of thing is going to have to be improved by better battery performance. And I think about, I equate it to soccer. Soccer will be the sport of the future in the next 10 years. And they keep saying that every 10 years. And I think about these electric vehicles are going to be the thing of the future in the next 10 years. They keep saying that, but I'm very hopeful that it's going to actually be better, I think.
We're talking motorcycling with Ron Davis and Daryl Broughton. Ron, your words are what every rider should read. You and I spoke after your book, Shiny Side Up, came out. Where can we access the words, the columns, et cetera?
Well, I write a column for BMW Owners News, and if you're interested in a collection of those columns, Shiny Side Up is available at the local store in Eau Claire, or anywhere online, any bookseller.
And Daryl, you have some riding-related charities you might want to quickly mention.
Yes, there are all kinds of charity rides, but the two that I spent some time on, one called Ride for Kids, the supporting arm of the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation of the United States, the largest provider of grants outside of the federal government. The second charity ride is called the Distinguished Gentleman's Ride. I call it a costume ride. And on the same day, once a year, in over 600 cities worldwide, men dressed up as distinguished gentlemen. Think of Sherlock Holmes. The motto is, ride tweed, ride dapper. Uh-huh. And it is raising funds for prostate cancer, and the other one is suicide.
The season is upon us, folks. Watch out for bikes. They're sharing the road and are defenseless relative to everything on four wheels. The Art of Riding a Motorcycle, our guests Daryl Broughton and Ron Davis. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Al.
Thank you, Al.
Spectrum West on WPR. Good to be back. Hey, don't forget the free class on using a Wisconsin accent on stage coming Saturday, April 17th at 10:30 a.m. To get the link, simply email the Chippewa Valley Theater Guild, cvtgact@aol.com. John Smith and Dan Sobranek host another Facebook Live from the Kitchen concert Friday, April 9th at 6 p.m. Pablo Streams presents Sunday and Mr. Gessel this evening, if you're listening Thursday, April 1st. Charlie Parr next Thursday, April 8th. And some new ones were recently announced, including Jeffrey Keezer coming Thursday the 15th. And we're going to have him as a guest on next week's show. Love his music. The annual Heidi Center for the Arts online auction is a fun and exciting way to contribute to the Heidi Center and win amazing unique experiences and gifts from area businesses. Many of the options are unique, one-of-a-kind experiences donated by the wonderful Chippewa Valley business community. The Heidi Center for the Arts online auction ends next Friday, April 9th at 5 p.m. That means it's on right now. Take it in. UW Stout, Wisconsin's Polytechnic University, like all great institutions, evolves with wonderful innovations available to the young people they serve. The well-known and popular entertainment design program has evolved into the animation and digital media program. Leading it all is Kim Loken, assistant professor. I'm sorry, I think she's an associate professor. Ah, whatever. In the School of Art and Design. We spoke earlier this week. Well, I have the luxury, Kim, of being able to tell people all about the old ways of recording and editing audio, and there's an old way of doing animation. I remember seeing Disney animators interviewed, and I couldn't imagine the process of actually drawing frames and then filming them and allowing the animation to develop in what was almost a mechanical process. How does how things are done today compare to the old days?
Right. Well, it's still a little bit of both. We still teach and value traditional animation, although we're not doing tens of thousands of individual cells and photographing them on a multiplane camera like they did in the Disney studio in the good old days. We are mostly using industry standard software like Adobe Animate, Toon Boom, Autodesk Maya, which gets into 3D modeling. Some of our work is edited in audiovisual software like Premiere or After Effects, and some of it is actually rendered real-time in video game engines. So there's a lot of tools available to us now in the process, and we're also using things like motion capture. We have a full Vicon motion capture lab for capturing and then cleaning up, because there's always still an animator's hand involved in giving things the final polish and the exaggeration that really makes animation sing. But we do still do special projects with experimental animation. You might think of things from the 60s where people were like painting on and directly scratching up individual frames of film. Or we occasionally do things with like claymation and stop motion. So we encourage experimentation, but we're still rooted in what today's industry standard practices are. But everything goes back to the fundamentals of animation, those core principles that were first explored in the early 20th century.
You think it's important for students to appreciate the history of animation?
Absolutely, and we do have an art history course devoted to film and animation. Each of our Bachelor of Fine Arts programs has foundational survey art history courses as well as a dedicated upper division art history course in their area of study.
While we're looking backward, how about your beginnings? How early did creating a visual world fascinate little Kim?
I actually just think all humans start out that way. And some of us just stick with it a little longer and formalize it. But I think we all share those instincts as kids. I think we're all world builders and character creators, and we all, you know, start out acting and pretending. And, you know, our animators and our game designers and our comics and video production students all just do it their whole lives.
Kim Loken, a UW Stout assistant professor, director of what formerly was the Entertainment Design Program, now it's Animation and Digital Media. Animation benefited from the ways the COVID pandemic changed our daily routines, those of folks in the visual entertainment business, less face-to-face stuff and soundstage shooting. But animators suddenly had more time, I think, to do their thing. Was that kind of a luxury for people involved in what you do?
Animation has been a global industry really ever since digital animation took off. Animation and visual effects studios from all over the world work on the blockbuster films that we associate with, whether mm-hmm. it's Pixar or the comic book stuff. So there were already a number of small studios under contract to larger studios and plenty of freelancers under contract to either of those. And there's also been a bit of a renaissance among some independent studios as well. You know, like Wolfwalkers, nominated for Best Animated Feature this year, an Irish film from a small studio. You know, we've seen a couple films out of Laika, which is a stop motion animation studio. But as far as those who are doing digital animation, whether it's 2D or 3D, that really has become a bit of a diaspora. In some ways, it's easier to get into the industry, and it'll be interesting to see as the recovery happens, do people really need to make that tour through the West Coast anymore? Perhaps not, right? Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. certainly, you know, there's a benefit to, you know, going to the epicenter to get into the door, but we may see a shift in that going forward. Yeah. And then, of course, we're seeing need for a lot of animation in other industries, too. Everybody wants 3D models and orbiting around them to show off whatever they make, whether it's a widget or that they provide a professional service.
Yep, yep, yep.
You know, there are connections there. But certainly, you know, film shut down, theater shut down, television shut down, animation could keep going during the pandemic. And we're just seeing a constant increase in the number of streaming services, mm-hmm. and they need content. They need unique content to recruit viewership. Animation is one way to get there.
Animation and drones. Two of the things that everybody's got to have in how they promote themselves. There's a line in a release that I read about your new major that reads, digital media can address a range of immersive sensory experiences. Explain those experiences.
Well, I mean, certainly film, animation, and then games have always been a source of escapism. And again, we're seeing those parallels right now from the 1930s movie musicals during the Depression as one kind of escapism. And then now all the content that people are streaming and playing while spending more time at home. We've always had this kind of audio-video portal to other worlds. Now we're expanding upon that with virtual reality, where the sense of immersion is greater. It's still dependent on audiovisual cues, but the tricks on the brain are a bit more convincing. And then augmented reality, whether it's with your smartphone, whether you're shopping for furniture or playing Pokemon and seeing things overlaid in the environment in which you're in, I really think there's going to be a substantial expansion on augmented reality because it doesn't necessarily have the same barrier to entry as virtual reality does. Virtual reality requires expensive equipment and high processing power from a computer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, AR you can carry around in your pocket. And we've seen some changes like in the retail experience where environments are often given a little bit of a scent as part of their design. There's been some creative research in the last couple of years in devices that connect to smartphones that emit deliberate scents, like you can send a scented text message, essentially. There have been some exhibits in recent years trying to recreate the smells of history. Not always ones that you want to smell.
Yeah, okay, I get it.
Paris during the Enlightenment was full of, like, horse excrement, right? But I think that that's really going to start expanding when people are able to come back into shared spaces. I think we're going to continue to crave intensely curated escapist kind of environments. You know, there's been a surge in puzzle rooms or escape rooms and game design. That's an opportunity where you're basically like walking into the film set and interacting with it and influencing the narrative or discovering the narrative. I think there's room for all of these entertainment fields to just keep blending the 2D, the 3D, the 4D, all of the senses.
Amazing stuff. It used to be called the Entertainment Design Undergraduate Program. It's now been changed to Animation and Digital Media. And the director of all that neat stuff going on at UW-Stout, Kim Loken, is on the phone with us. When people reach certain advanced ages, it is suggested that they engage in and figure out games and puzzles and riddles designed to keep their minds or certain parts of them sharp and tuned up. But games can and do actually play an important role in helping anyone at any age challenge themselves, recognize and make good decisions, develop important human and social capacities like empathy. I mean, there are games designed to bring social dilemmas to imaginary life, allowing us to practice, as it were, in the event that something similar actually happens in real time. How fascinating is that aspect of what you do and what you teach?
I think that's one of the most interesting things. You know, some of my own creative research lately has been along those lines. I worked with a playwright a couple of years ago on a game called Aquanesia. Speaking of escape rooms and puzzle rooms, it's basically that combined with a theatrical script. So it's playable theater meant to give a glimpse into the future of what things would be like if they didn't manage their watersheds better. Games have the systems quality that enhance our ability to study causes and effects in a simulation. But then with the narrative power of animation and film and comics, we get like the deep story immersion. And there's been a lot of research around people being more persuaded by stories than by facts. We can wrap up the facts in an engaging story, then that can be a compelling tool and a compelling experience.
The label UW-Stout graduate is an impressive pedigree. That must make you feel good.
It does, yes. We've been chipping away at the national rankings, and in the most recent ones from Animation Career Review, our animation program was ranked number one in Wisconsin, the only public or private school listed there. We're number eight in the Midwest and 39 in the nation.
Well, as you can tell, I'm a curious guy, and this topic is fascinating. Let me end by saying that you deserve compliments on not only keeping up but setting standards. So keep up the great work, and thanks for visiting with me today.
Absolutely. Our pleasure. Take care.
Spectrum West on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Al Ross. Good to be with you today. Support for WPR comes from Marquardt Toyota, committed to delivering an authentic and enjoyable automotive experience. Marquardt Toyota is located off Highway 53 between Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls and at marquardttoyota.com. Support also comes from UW Health Breast Center, offering second opinions from a team of breast cancer doctors who are dedicated to creating a personalized plan. More is at uwhealth.org/second opinion. You know, if you're listening on Thursday, it being April Fool's Day, I search my mind every year for things to do to my grown kids and their families. I don't know. I haven't been very good at it this year. I was looking online at some of the famous ones that have happened over the years. In 1992, this one applies, National Public Radio ran a spot with former President Richard Nixon saying that he was running for president again. Only it was an actor, not Nixon, and the segment was all an April Fool's Day prank that caught the country by surprise. How about that?
There's nothing for you to do but to just be you. My, 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 what an important thing to do. 'Cause no one can quite do it just like you can. And you make the day so grand. Never forget you are magic. Never forget you're fantastic. Never forget I'm ecstatic you're here. Making each day in every way. Like a merry-go-round, we'll sing this song.
I remember how impressed I was with her talent and the energy for dessert. Menominee resident Beth Jean doesn't just produce an album. She's like a full menu of side orders, animated videos, and social media posts, unlike most others, and lots more, all designed with kids in mind, but any age at heart. She has a new album. It's called Let's Put On a Show, and show she does. Exactly how to have fun and celebrate life and music.
Magic, you are magic. Magic, magic, magic.
Who did you love when you were a kid? What entertainers got you to dance around the room and sing like you do to kids nowadays?
I would have to say Dolly Parton was one of my first people I was absolutely crazy about. Love the makeup, the glam, the sparkle, everything. My mom's records, would pull them out and stare at her cover and be like, this is the most gorgeous woman I have ever seen. Also, Miss Piggy. Love Miss Piggy. So kind of had a theme going with who I like.
In the latest notes that I've read about how you go about doing things and what inspires you, you've talked about musicals. Tell me about musicals. It's like every song is a mini musical for you.
Yeah, my stuff kind of leans more towards musicals, and I'm way okay with that. I just love tap dancing, my first love of dance. I love all those old classics, 42nd Street, mm-hmm. all those type of musicals, and there's nothing like a musical.
Singing in the Rain. Have you ever danced in rain?
Probably have. I should do it more, but...
Well, April, that's the month for rain.
Yep.
You can also put award-winning before your name. Congratulations on winning the children's category in a couple pretty prestigious songwriting competitions. That John Lennon thing was the latest. Kind of cool to be able to put that logo on your website.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that was, as being a huge Beatles fan, that was, I can't believe it. Okay. I like that I get to write out John Lennon a lot now and email stuff.
Yeah, talk about great coattails.
Yeah.
Now, your process, for people who have seen them, they know what I'm talking about. For people who have not seen them, I suggest they go to your website and YouTube and other places to see these things. Your process of producing music and videos is painstaking, and it's very meticulous. Green screening. I saw a picture of you in this wild costume in front of a green screen. It's the kind of flattering, I guess. So,
not really. That green green suit is terrible, and I hate it so much.
Well, you have guts to put it on the website, you know, and let people know how you do things. But that's good. You know, stop action stuff, maybe some claymation or something similar to that, whatever you do. How do you plan those things? And secondarily, are you schooled in animation, that kind of thing, or self-taught?
I'm self-taught, just trial and error. Think about what I want, and then I just go try to make it happen. Watch a lot of YouTube tutorials, thank goodness for those. And I obviously have the songs. I have that to work off, and then I do a little set, like a little diorama of a set of whatever the video's theme is, and then green screen myself into that little set.
Beth Jean on the phone with us. She's a well-known children's performer. She's coming out with a second album, and it's called Let's Put On a Show. It's set for release April 9th. How does Let's Put On a Show differ from your first album? I remember you and I talking after that.
Yeah, that was a fun time to come in and see you. This one is more other than the theme song being listed on a show and having tap dance in it, I kind of wanted to do more of what I knew growing up, children's 80s theme song. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was like, let's try to write an 80s theme song every time.
Uh-huh.
So it's more electronic a little bit, I'd say, and slightly more quirky, if I dare say. I have hamsters singing, I have gnomes singing, I have penguins singing, I have little birds singing. There's a lot of me singing in a high-pitched voice on this album. For the other one, you didn't get that.
That's cool. Let's talk about your mindset a little bit in order to write for kids. Is it imperative that you think like a kid, or do you have impressions and lessons and professional stuff in mind? What's on your mind when you're writing, or is it maybe a little bit of both? You're kind of thinking like a kid, but you're also thinking like an adult who's trying to make a good impression on kids.
Yeah, a little bit of both. I just try to keep it simple and fun, and also what I want to dress up as in the next video. Like, oh, I really want to be a sailor, so let's write a sailor song. Or, oh, I really want to tap dance, so let's write a song about tap dancing. I kind of think about the videos a lot when I write the songs.
Do you ever run your material past people schooled in the education of kids, like educational and psychological prose? is that ever called for? Maybe for no other reason than you're curious about the impression it's making.
I have a friend, Shelly. Shout out to Shelly if she's listening.
Okay.
She has six kids. Oh, she has five kids, one on the way. It definitely helps to run stuff by her and ask her, like, what do you think of this? Do they like this? So that definitely helps.
Because, you know, young minds are pretty busy today.
Yeah, a lot of things coming at them.
This was sort of, from what I read, a pandemic project. Did you at all get involved in any virtual sessions where you kept in touch with music colleagues and maybe even did a live stream show for kids at all in the last year?
Well, this record, I started it in February and in Boston, and then... Everything got closed up, so we did it all just over the internet, sending files back and forth. Three of the songs forced me to actually do it all myself, production and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have anyone to lean on saying, oh yeah, that's good, let's do that or this. So that was a fun challenge. Yeah, I haven't done any live streams. Surprisingly, I've been just mainly focused on videos. And I also filmed in quarantine a project for PBS for a show in Indiana called The Friday Zone. That was really fun to do, all from home.
On the phone with Beth Jean, children's performer. She lives in Menominee, but she's well-known all over. You mentioned in something that I read, Josh and the Jamtones, and that caused me to look them up. They have fun videos. They have great live shows, cool music. Were you aware of them before you began the career that you have, or is there kind of a fraternity of entertainers who enjoy giving kids some stuff to call their own?
Yeah, they're great. I found out about them through one of my Boston friends, and he said, hey, the drummer of Josh and the Jamtones produces kid stuff, and maybe you want to work on a record with him. And I was like, okay, love it, love what they're doing. And so that's how we got connected, and so he produced this new album.
I urge people to go look them up as well, Josh and the Jamtones.
Yeah, super nice people.
You might be sitting in a chair when you watch it, but your feet will be going. You were involved with the Saturday Morning Hullabaloo Summer Concert Series a couple years ago. Of course, it didn't happen last year. Are you aware of any status for that this coming season?
Hoping next summer.
Okay.
I just talked with Volume 1, and yeah, they're not sure, but hoping for next summer. Doing those shows were great. It's so much fun.
Yeah, because, you know, it's sad to read about you as a live performer and notice that most of what you read uses all past tense words. I did that, and, you know, that was fun rather
right.
than... So what is going on, if anything? Do you have things on your calendar and they are in pencil, or what's going on?
No live shows scheduled, unfortunately. Just making videos at youtube.com/BethJean and putting out the record, and hopefully we'll get some shows going soon.
The record's called Let's Put On a Show, set for release Friday, April 9th. BethJean.com, everybody, that's the place to go. Pick a song from the new album and kind of introduce it for me.
Let's do Waddling We Go, the Penguin song that just won the John Lennon Songwriting Contest.
And what's it about?
Penguins waddling.
And going.
And going around and sliding. And I know it's kind of weird to have this song come out now in spring. It's about winter, but, you know, who says I was ever good at timing things out?
Yeah, who cares?
Waddling We Go, the Penguin song.
Now and again, now and again. Every now and then you gotta get waddling like a penguin, like a penguin. Do you hear 'em coming? Yeah, they're coming. Brum ba bum ba bum, parade of penguins, and they're singing. Yeah, they're singing.
Waddle, 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 and we go. Winter is our favorite time because of ice and snow. Waddle, 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 'cause we cannot fly.
But it's alright because we slide.
Waddle, 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 and we go. Winter is our favorite time because of ice and snow. Waddle, 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 'cause we cannot fly.
But it's alright because we slide.
Now and again, now and again. Every now and then you gotta get waddling like a penguin, like a penguin.
Beth Jean, thanks. As always, it's fun. Are you working on anything new? Are you working on a new album? 'Cause we can't get enough.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, always working on something.
Thanks for being with us again on WPR.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Waddle, 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 in we go. Winter is our favorite.
Well, I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like waddling. How actually do you waddle? I'm going to have to practice that later on. Let's all practice waddling and then meet up, you know, sometime down the road. Okay? Okay. Well, that's it for this week. Next week, jazz great Jeffrey Keyser, a moving exhibit from a Wisconsin healthcare giant, a special memory choir show coming up, and more. For now, thanks to Kate, Dean, Tommy, and you. You know, you can visit WPR.org to find past programs neatly arranged by date and guests. While we're doing all that stuff, day to day, be good to one another, every day in some way, make a positive difference, and be selfish and selfless at the same time by wearing a mask for the ones you care about, okay? Okay, see you next week.